cyber shopping, and more. Our tech team is back. This is a big week for tech retailers, a big week for the sale of laptop computers, televisions, smart speakers, tablets, and more. The sales, of course, start with Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and then continue through what's become known as Cyber Monday. Have you been waiting all year for the low prices? Already have your eye on something? Or are you thinking about buying a techie gift for someone on your holiday shopping list? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Whether you're in the market for something sparkly and new, or if you just want to get your current technology running more smoothly, this is the show for you. Ask a question of our favorite tech experts. Main Calling is next, but first, this news. Love it or hate it, Black Friday is a time when many of us turn our attention to the holidays and gift giving. If technology is part of your holiday equation this season, we have our tech team in the studio to answer your questions about which smart speaker works best, whether you should get a tablet to replace your old laptop, and what to think if you are considering cutting the cord. Our tech team consists of Janet McKenney, the Director of Library Development for the Maine State Library, Jared Maxfield, the owner of Necessary Technology, Andrew Rosenstein, the owner of Techport. As always, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have for our tech team? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or tweet at Maine Calling. I'm not going to offer up the use of the Maine Calling Facebook page for comments for now because there are some problems with Facebook today. We were unable to put up a post. And maybe that's something we can talk about during the show. But first, let's start by talking about what I always start with talking about when you all are on the show. And I'm going to start with you today, Jared. What are you excited about? What's the gadget that you're buzzing about with all your geeky techie friends?
Yeah, my geeky techie friends and my geeky techie house. I am, as usual, and have been on a path for multiple years of kind of going smart home. Fun in some ways, creepy in others, but my thermostats are something that I have not changed out for smart devices in the house. So that, if I had to pick one holiday item that I'm looking at, it is the Nest Thermostat E edition. It's their, I don't want to say less than edition, but it's their lower grade edition. But for most folks just looking for a smart thermostat, it is less in terms of cost, but not much less in terms of what it does in terms of functionality. Long story short, if you have just a regular house with a regular oil burner or something like that, then the Nest E thermostat would be more than adequate and do all the functions that the regular thermostats would do, which is essentially helping you manage your heat. It's one of the only things on here that I can recommend that might actually and will most likely help pay for itself over time, because the smart thermostats not only give you control, but they also, because they're smart, you can essentially set them to learn your habits and comings and goings and effectively control your heat. And if you're paying for oil and have noticed that oil's creeping back up, every penny you can save helps. So that, if I give a little shout out to a big faceless corporation, I found that one, Dell on the Dell.com website, they're going to have that tomorrow starting for $99. And they're normally $169. So $70 off is a pretty good. And the normal Nest thermostats, the bigger ones, are $249. So if you could pick up one of these for $99 and help make your home a little more comfortable, save some oil, save some money in the long term, and it's a nice step in, you know, moving towards smart home.
Jared, what does this say about where you are in life that this is what you're really excited about for Christmas as opposed to some sort of gaming console or concert tickets?
Yeah, so I don't know who I am anymore. I'm approaching 40, and my priorities have definitely changed. I'm into thermostats, so I know there's a lot of folks out there who get what I'm talking about. So yeah, there's an Xbox in my house with dust on it. It's changing, you know, life. But You keep moving.
We could all relate, but yeah. I just had to point
it out. The house is getting smarter, and I'm getting older. So.
Janet, what are you excited about?
Well, I'll have to bump off of that. They're coming out with an old game called Katamari for the Switch, and I loved playing that however many years ago it was. So, you know, I'm a lot older than Jared, but I may be regressing with the gaming. But
Katamari?
Yeah, it's Katamari. You can't even describe it. It's you're a thing and you roll up stuff until you get to you're rolling up the Eiffel Tower and, you know, like entire New York City. It's just a historical game to play. But, you know, that's for myself personally. You know, for the other things, the wish list coming from my STEM librarian and for people that are looking for things for kids, I've been investigating. There's a build your own computer using Raspberry Pi. So I think it's Kano or Kano computer kit. And Little Bits has come out with a droid like R2-D2 that you can put together. And it's really adorable. And Wonder Workshop, who we have the little dash and dot robots, now they have a step-up robot for older kids that has much more heart coding for it. So those are the things I'll post on the Facebook page once you get it all set.
All right. Well, Andrew, what about you? What's on either on your list or are you thinking about buying someone else?
Mm. Well, my needs are pretty basic because I'm thinking, too, about all of these different smart home products, and the bottleneck is the Wi-Fi router. And now that Apple has dropped the airport.
I didn't even know that. Apple has dropped the airport?
Yes, it's gone. But in some ways, the airport was the old-style technology, where you have a single router that just blasts your house full of Wi-Fi, and you hope maybe it gets to that corner on the second floor that you can't do anything with.
Yes, that's what we have.
Right. new smarter routers are running off of mesh technology, and the idea is that you have three units minimum, place one on each floor, spread it around your house, and you get full coverage. Google makes one. It's Black Friday deal on Amazon for I think it's $249, down $50 from the usual $299, and that gets you three units. So you have a base unit that plugs into your cable connection, and then from there, the setup is very easy, and it spreads throughout your house through to the other two units that are placed kind of equal distant from the primary unit. Another company that makes mesh technology routers is Ubiquiti. They're a little bit more expensive. They offer the Ubiquiti Pro. It's a whole system that it moves data very, very fast. And those start at $279 for three units. But you know, you got to have something to run all this stuff.
Yeah, but $249, boy, I wish the price point were a little lower. I know that's a deal for Black Friday, but still. It's significant.
You can get the Google router as a single unit and save a little bit and see how that works. And then you can add additional units, too.
Boy, everything is changing so quickly. If you have questions, 1-800-399-3566 or email at talk@mainepublic.org. So much to talk about. But let's talk about the news right now, which is financial news but related to technology companies. We're having second day, apparently, of a big drop in stocks as people sell off tech companies, Facebook, Amazon, Google. Who wants to explain this to us?
I don't know if anyone can.
Well, I mean, you've got...
explain the stock market.
Explain the... can we talk about crypto again?
That's
also way down. Too.
Bitcoin's way down. Everything's down.
Yeah.
The things I learned boating up for today's show.
You should learn. Your stock market's obviously cyclical. Things have been at very big highs. But, you know, an iPhone in particular, part of the issue has been that I think it was last week or the week before, basically, some of the suppliers who supply some of the parts to iPhone for their new X series, you know, essentially cut their forecast and alluded to a large retail client of theirs who has basically cut back their orders. So that's inferred to be Apple, meaning that they don't think they'll sell as many of these new iPhones that are out. And then Apple being such a behemoth is a drag on the entire market. You know, Facebook runs on advertising and just as things go up and down, but they're all interconnected just like any other industry, you know, oil or financial sectors, things like that. So, but Apple's, you know, one of the, obviously the big boys on the block. And if people see a downtrend there, that is likely to not only affect their stock, but kind of drag down part of the sector as well. But people will keep buying phones, you know, and you never know. Oftentimes we've seen this before in the past, and then subsequently when the reports actually come out of how many units were moved, whoever bought at the dip does quite well because it comes back. But you're seeing all-time highs on a lot of these companies. So what goes up has to come down.
Okay, the other bit of news that I alluded to at the top of the program, I spent a little bit of time this morning trying to create a little Facebook post for today's program. I found a nice article about tech gadgets, and was having a lot of trouble, could not post it, and then found an article in the Daily Mail, the UK Daily Mail, the headline, Facebook and Instagram have crashed. Facebook and Instagram have crashed around the world less than a day after Messenger went down. Do we know why?
I don't think we've learned quite why yet, but I can say that probably, I mean, the interconnectivity of, again, we're dealing with one company, and so, and I think that the risk is not spread out very well. So they have choke points, and I think they're understanding that now. But it's certainly, you know, if you have an area of high traffic, it could collapse. And I think we're learning more as it unfolds.
Okay. We usually will wait a little bit before we go to calls. But Christine, I understand that you are at the store buying your Thanksgiving pie and we'll need to go in a minute. So we're going to go to you first. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much for my call. I got my Christmas list from my teenager, and one of the things she really wanted was a Vector robot. Do not know what this is. You know, it's supposed to learn her personality and react appropriately. And I'm like, what does this do? Is this a problem? Should I be concerned about her wanting one of these? Hence my question.
Okay, so what is a Vector robot, and is it something to be concerned of? Actually, we could probably fill in the blank for so much of technology with those two questions. Who wants to... We have three tech experts here Googling on their phone right now, or probably not Googling.
We're not Instagramming. We're not Facebooking.
Yeah. So, well, it's made by a company that is actually makes one of the little robots that we've used. So I think, again, it's kind of a step-up model. I'm just looking at it right now. But
it says they're adorable. What could go wrong?
I know. It's black rather than white, and it looks like a little tractor, you know, or a little plow. So, but what it actually does is it's $249. So that's the big thing. I'd have to research it. I'll be more than happy to do that and post on Facebook or maybe the Maine State Library's Facebook page if I can get to that. But
It doesn't seem malicious or anything. No. I mean, it seems to be they're almost advertised as almost a smart learning robot, so that it'll interact with kids and almost show personality, which is another move
does
directly.
Have a microphone.
Yeah, we're heading right to the Terminator. If anyone's seen the movie,
it's like Alexa only in a robot form that does some other stuff.
I would check see if you can adjust security settings. You know, you can dig into the owner's manual online but these devices do have microphones. They do report back via the internet to who knows who.
Okay, Christine, good luck and good luck with your holiday shopping today. We are talking about Black Friday discounts and we've just mentioned Alexa. Andrew, I know that this time last year we were talking about what a huge year it was going to be for smart speakers, and it was. Are they coming down in price?
They are, yes. The one, Apple does not generally have Black Friday deals of any sort, but the HomePod you can probably save $50 on. But you can't save that $50 if you buy it through Amazon because they don't sell it on Amazon. It's the one Apple product that competes with Alexa, so you won't find it on Amazon. But for my money, the sound is incredible. The bass is pretty, you know, a little bit too much for me. But you can use a third-party app called Airfoil to tweak it a little bit, and you can play your iTunes music library through your MacBook Pro directly to HomePod and play with the equalize the sound a little bit. But the sound is set by Apple, but it's a good deal.
Okay, so I noticed searching around the internet this morning that all sorts of sites tell us that the best time of the year to buy a television is this week.
They're like free.
Yeah,
they're like you can get like a million inch 4K TV for $99.
Yeah. Do you wait crazy. Until Friday? Is that the best thing to do?
First of all, we keep talking about Black Friday, and my personal thing, Black Friday now for me, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Please also don't forget Small Business Saturday for our local stores. We just don't have a lot of tech local stores, but of course go out. But for me, Black Friday and Cyber Monday are just interchangeable because now Black Friday is, by the way, it's like the whole month. You know, so I just look at these general sales. You will have specific to these days. But you're going to find these types of deals. There's an add-on I recommend using when I do any of my shopping, but especially around the holidays. I have two add-ons on my browser. Ebates is a big one people are familiar with. Ebates is a free service. Sign up for it. If you're long story short, you download it, attach it to your browser. If you go to a site that uses Ebates, you activate it. And then they just give you money back. If you're spending $100 and it's a 2% cashback site, they put $2 back in your account and then a couple times a year send you a check. It's free, it's easy, and literally if you're spending money, they will just give you back cash.
So what's the catch? Where's the money
coming from? There's no catch because the way it works is the advertisers were always being paid as affiliates to send traffic to a website. And what Ebates essentially does is they share their kickback from the retailer with the consumer. They've been doing this for, it's going to be close to going on almost a decade now. So if I was an advertiser and I sent someone there and they buy a stereo, that I might get $5. Well, now part of that $5 Ebates essentially shares with the consumer. It's straight cash back. The other app I use to attach is Honey. And Honey is
H-O-N-E-Y?
Yep. Honey is easy, free to download. Again, these are all add-ons you can just attach to your browser, Chrome, Safari, Internet Explorer, or Edge. And Honey will, when you go to a website, tell you if there's any coupon codes available. But also, and I thought about this because you mentioned prices, with the Honey, you can actually also track historical prices as well. So you can actually go in and look at a product and see, hey, is this weekend actually the best deal or has it been lower? And if you think you could get it lower and you don't want to pull the trigger this week, you can also use Honey to set an alert on items. So those are two free, easy things. And again, Ebates is straight cash back in your money, you know, and I get a couple checks a year and it's just, you're getting money for money you're going to spend. And there is no catch. I tried to find it. And then Honey will also help you track those items as well.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions about home tech. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Maine's Masonic Charitable Foundation, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine, and Friends School of Portland for preschool through grade 8, teaching peace in a changing world. More information at friendsschoolofportland.org.
Millions of Americans are preparing to give thanks and feast with family, but many farmers are run ragged by a trade war and a bailout program bogged down in bureaucracy. The president's strongest supporters live and work in rural areas. What happened to the billions promised to counter new tariffs? Finding a fix for our farmers. Next time on 1A.
And join us for 1A this evening at 9 o'clock.
on the next Fresh Air. Climbing a sheer vertical rock thousands of feet high, using little cracks and edges of the wall to hold onto and balance your body weight. We talk with Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen about their historic free climb on El Capitan's notorious Dawn Wall in Yosemite. It's the subject of a new documentary. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, answers to your tech questions. Joining me in the studio, Andrew Rosenstein, the owner of TechPort, Janet McNeith, director of library development for the Maine State Library, and Jared Maxfield, the owner of Necessary Technology. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. You could also send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Or tweet at Maine Calling. We'll go to Paul in Augusta. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I've got a question. I've got two questions, really. And the first one, I listened to your comments about the mesh technology. And I have, and I wired my house when we built it, to have DSL comes in and we have a wireless router downstairs. I mean, a Wi-Fi router downstairs. I also have a Cat 5 wire going to upstairs. I have radiant heat, so I've got a concrete layer in between. So I wanted to use another router, another wireless router, and plug right into the Ethernet port at the back, and that's how I was going to feed it to go wireless upstairs. Everything I read, you know, they've got these dual channel nowadays, and I just wondered, and everything you read about, you know, the comments from people is, you know, it, you know, some of the things that they constantly drop out. I noticed I was looking at the D-Link. I think it's an AC 1200 or 1900, something like that. And they say it constantly drops signal or it drops out. And you have to reset it or whatever. What is a good wireless router out there for that type of application? And let me just add one more thing to that. I have, like I said, I have DSL, and sometimes when the kids and grandkids are there, there's not enough, you know, it can't handle all those devices, so we got to turn some off. Mm-hmm. That's the first question. The second question is, you know, with these Black Friday deals coming up, I want to get a laptop, 13, 15-inch laptop. What do you suggest in that area that's a good buy for Black Friday?
Okay, well, Wi-Fi routers and laptops.
Yeah, I think Andrew, you nailed. I mean, the Google Home.
Yeah, that's
Google
Home.
The Google is Home best. Is a great. When my router fails, that's what I've put in a lot of customers. Yeah. And when he mentioned that, I also wanted to mention for people, the Google Home is also extremely easy to set up.
Yeah.
Anyone with a smartphone, you know, routers used to have to connect to your computer and put in IP addresses and all this jazz. You don't have to do that anymore. You can just download a quick app to your phone. They make it very user friendly. I don't know anyone who's put in a Google Home 3-pod system who has had complaints yet. He mentioned concrete, which
that might be the first
is a barrier.
Yeah.
But also the dual band, 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. If you turn on your microwave and you're on the 2.4 band, then you're going to have interference because the microwaves, coffee makers, they all run on that.
So, instead of having Paul wire up another router, you would recommend he change to, and a Google Home is what you were talking about before, one of these mesh routers.
Exactly.
As a mesh router and more. Yeah.
It's basically three pods around, you have three units around the house and they work.
They form one cohesive signal. But you've got it coming from three places, so it's strong throughout the house.
And then eventually it will coordinate with other things you do, like Jared's soon-to-be-purchased thermostat.
Sure, or potentially someone will buy them for me, you know, hint, hint, Christmas.
It's the ease of the setup of the Google Home that's really appealing, because before, when you were trying to connect even the same brand routers together to cover your entire house with a really robust signal, you really needed a lot more tech expertise. And that's the one thing that the Google Home has just erased that need and just made it really, really easy. So I'm going to be buying one for my next, I'll be buying three for my next installation of a router.
Boy, interesting. It's only been a few weeks since I had you on last, all of you. What about Paul's second question, recommendations for a laptop, 13 to 15 inch? Paul, I'm going to step in here and say, do you have a price point you're looking at?
Probably around $500.
So he's going PC?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so we've taken all Macs out because that's how they roll.
Yeah.
I always recommend for folks, when buying new, and $500 these days can get you a pretty decent machine, Asus, A-S-U-S, not Acer, but Asus and Lenovo, those are typically the two brands I recommend to my customers the most when looking at new machines. They tend to build quality products. We tend to fix a lot less of them than, say, your HPs and some of those other brands. So Asus and Lenovo are, and a lot of times if you're looking online, Newegg is typically a place that makes it easy to sort and find different options and find your price range.
But yeah, and at that price range, you'll probably just get a regular hard drive and not the SSD drive, solid state drives, which boot up a lot faster. So that's the one thing, you know, somebody's really excited because they're getting a low-cost laptop, but it's not using the new solid state technology. Like that's in the Mac Air, but it's also in a lot, like I think the Yoga, I think by Lenovo. So the lighter laptops, and so a lot has to do with what you're using it for and how long you want it to last. As somebody who's witnessed hard drive crashes, you really don't crash a solid state drive. So
it just disappears.
Yeah,
they can into the ether.
Solid, and what she's talking, solid states for, you know, most hard drives have always been mechanical. Think of basically like a record player. Solid states are like USB thumb drives.
Right.
There's no moving parts. You plug them in. They were sold to us as this kind of holy grail of never going to fail, going to be awesome. And they are more reliable, and they definitely run cooler, or they can not have as many issues failing because of like things like heat. But as Andrew just alluded to, when they fail hard. And unlike a mechanical drive where we often have options to recover data, when solid states fail, they can be lost. So if you have a solid state, I can't recommend enough being backed up. And in terms of a new computer, one thing you could do, I recommend to people, is there's different features now on computers, you know, regular hard drive, solid state hard drive, touchscreen, no touchscreen, different processors, different amounts of RAM. If you can, I usually tell people, if you don't want a touchscreen, if you don't care about having, especially in a laptop, a touchscreen, for me, it's not even conducive to. It's like you want to touch a tablet and a phone, but not a laptop. If you don't need one, I recommend don't get a touchscreen laptop. Put your money towards a better hard drive or a better processor because, A, they're not super convenient sometimes, and B, when they break, they're not cheap at all to fix. And people will come in, and sometimes to fix a broken touchscreen will cost them almost as much as the computer costs. So that's just a little tip. If you can swap that out, you could put your money towards a better feature.
All right, Paul, good luck to you. I hope you get a good deal. We have an email from Linda. Recently, as I signed on to my eBay account, there was a pop-up from AVAST, Avast, with a dire warning that there was a problem and eBay had been blocked. I ran a scan, and eventually Avast seemed to be indicating that the problem was resolved. I signed on again later and got the same pop-up. It was not clear to me exactly what was happening. Can you explain this and assure me that I can trust Avast?
We don't use the word assure.
Yeah.
Did you buy it and install it on your computer, or was it there already?
Avast is a legitimate product.
You can pay for the full version that might have more updates and might be more reliable.
Sometimes, you know, antivirus is antivirus. It's not brick wall, no virus. You know, the analogy I like to use is antivirus is like a seatbelt and airbags. It helps. It offers safety, but it's no guarantee that something can't happen. So people sometimes think that, A, if you have antivirus, that the internet's your wild, wild west, and you click on anything you want. That's certainly not the case. The other thing is antivirus sometimes can detect things but can't necessarily clean it or remove it. You know, there will get to be a certain point where your regular program running can't clean it. So sometimes it may detect something, give you a pop-up, tell you essentially it's been neutralized or dealt with, but the next time you go back, that is still lurking on your machine and comes back. So that would be something, if it's reoccurring, that we would typically recommend bring it into a local computer professional who can do a little bit more of an in-depth scan outside of your operating system and give you a more thorough answer, because it's hard to assure something like that, especially this day and age.
We have the tech team on Maine Calling today. If you'd like to call in, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can tweet at Maine Calling or send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll go to Ralph in Belgrade. Hi, Ralph. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Apple products. I might wait till after Black Friday. They're expected to go way down in price. They're having some problems. But the company's okay. They have over $800 billion in cash, so they're all set. But by them reducing the prices of their products, it's like giving back some to the consumers. And they've been overpriced for the last 15 years, I think. So this is kind of a good thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wait till after Black Friday, closer to Christmas, to buy your Apple product.
I'm not so sure about that. I think if you the prices in for may go down, but they're probably not. I think that if you really want a great Black Friday deal, I would look in Apple's refurb and clearance shop. It's at apple.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page because they don't want you to find it right away, and click on that, and you'll see some discontinued models, but you also see, you know, things that were for sale 6 months ago that have been refurbished. Either they're returns or they never sold to begin with. Apple has an incredible refurbishment process that completely overhauls the machine as new. You get a one-year AppleCare warranty with eligibility to purchase 2 additional years of AppleCare. And it's a great way to save, you know, $200-$300 maybe on a new machine.
All right, but Ralph, good luck to you. An email from Ellie. Hello, I'd like to buy my 9-year-old an interactive video game system. I was disappointed to find out that the Wii has been discontinued. Mm-hmm. Is there an affordable gaming system that encourages physical activity?
Mm.
I didn't know the Wii was gone.
Yeah, the Wii.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a Peloton with a screen that you can ride the Tour de France.
I know. I don't know what others will pick up. I mean, we've had so much fun with, like, Wii bowling and all that kind of stuff. I can't think of any of the newer systems that I know that have the same kind of interactivity that the Wii had. So that's interesting. There's got to be somebody that's going to be taking up that space. I mean, the next thing is the VR, you know, and so now you're talking about a VR headset, and that's when you're standing, and that's when you're interacting.
VR is virtual reality. Okay,
yeah.
But that's not, when you say the next thing, that's not.
It is.
But if those of you who are worried about Apple's profits, in the next year or so, they're going to come out with some virtual reality products that are pretty amazing.
But for right now, for this holiday, mm-hmm. if somebody wants to buy their 9-year-old, is there mm-hmm. a VR that'll have them standing up and moving around that's reasonably priced?
Your iPhone will fit right into the unit with most of them. You know, for instance, you can buy Destech makes a VR headset with adjustments for making sure that the screen is correctly placed in front of your pupils. It has two separate adjustments for that. It's $29.95 at Amazon, and you can drop your iPhone in there, carefully, of course, and strap it to your head, put on some headphones, and you can, if you have whatever game you have on your phone, you can play in virtual reality.
So maybe that's a good option for...
Yeah.
Our emailer to buy one of these headsets and maybe a gift certificate for a couple games from the iTunes store.
It's going to be finding the game that has that activity in it that she's looking for, you know.
Because in terms of actual systems, basically you still have your PlayStation and your Xbox, and they're not going to be uber cheap. I mean, they're going to be probably $300 to $500 depending on the setup you purchase. PlayStation does have a not sure how deep Xbox is into this right now, but I know PlayStation has a pretty good virtual reality setup. The other thing that you could also potentially look at, it also depends on the type of games you want. More simple games and for younger kids, the Apple TV, the new Apple TV units, you can download games and play them right with the remote, or you can get extra controllers to go with them. So the Apple TV, what was that, like $249 these days, or $199, yeah, something $199 like that? So that's also, again, that's a smart device you would hook up to your TV so that you could stream, like, your, if you want to cut the cord, if you want to do Netflix and Hulu, stuff like that. But you can also download games from the App Store. Also, the Amazon products, like the Fire products, the Fire Sticks, mm-hmm. The Fire Cube, which I just got the Fire Cube. The Fire Cube was really cool, actually. I should have brought the Fire Cube. You can Alexa will now control any TV, which is kind of fun because we cut the cord recently, so I got rid of my cable boxes, and now you can actually say, hey, Alexa, turn on the TV, turn off the TV, open this, open that, and it's adding more. So I'm much lazier now because now I don't even have to use the remote. You can just speak to her and, like, not even roll over on the couch.
So you need to get some sort of game that will make you get up and play.
Well, yeah. I read something yesterday. They're starting to do studies on virtual reality. In virtual reality video game, kids are exercising like it's their job, and they don't even realize it. And they're talking about how virtual reality, you go to the gym, you spend 30 minutes on the treadmill, you're counting every minute if you're like me and most people. If you're doing virtual reality and jumping around and you're sweating, people don't even realize what they're doing because they're having fun. And the actual benefits out of virtual reality physically compared to traditional video games are going to be quite extensive and actually maybe help reverse part of the trend of the, you know, technology making us a little plumper.
And okay. The other thing is the age of the kid, too. So virtual reality for younger kids, as far as learning development and things, there may be some problems with eye strain and stuff like that. So you have to be a watchful parent as far as time.
Okay. So, Jared, you mentioned something that we've got a couple calls and questions coming in about, but we have to go to a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about cord cutting. So before we say that, I'm going to say a word about tomorrow's program. Keith Shortall will be in for what should be a fun show. He and his panel are going to discuss desert island discs, as in which 5 records would you want to bring along if stranded on a desert isle. Check out the Maine Calling website or Facebook page to see some of these entries already. Senator Angus King, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, and our very own Erwin Gratz have already weighed in with little videos. We're going to try to get our tech team to do the same thing. We encourage you to share your top 5, email or tweet. You are listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the law offices of Joe Bornstein, a statewide practice representing injured and disabled Mainers since 1974. JoeBornstein.com, and Skudik Institute, pursuing collaborative solutions to critical environmental challenges through discovery. Support their work at SkudikInstitute.org.
How in the world can you say you want to go to a public lynching?
GOP Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith said if she were invited to a public hanging, she'd be in the front row. She's running in a special election to keep her seat.
And you want to represent the relatives of those people?
The Mississippi senator is also facing a black opponent, Democrat Mike Espy. The fallout this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening.
Instagram stars are up to something new. You've definitely seen it, but probably didn't realize how much money it's bringing in.
They'll handle all the back end, customer service. So you can just kind of be making money, thousands of dollars a month in some cases.
I'm Molly Wood. How influencers are hashtag making money. That's next on Marketplace.
And join us for Marketplace this evening at 6:30.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the return of our favorite geeks. Tech experts. Joining me today, Jared Maxfield, owner of Necessary Technology, Andrew Rosenstein, owner of Techport, and Janet McKenney, director of library development for the Maine State Library. Join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. I want to do a quick clarification because I think we had a few terms being thrown around and maybe a little misspeaking. So the smart speaker is Google Home, but the mesh router we're talking about is called Google Wi-Fi.
Yes,
Google Wi-Fi. Right. If we're looking at a router, they are not the same thing. And I'm sure Google would love you to buy both. But the Google Wi-Fi is the new kind of Wi-Fi router, one of the brands that is referred to as a mesh router. I'm going to go to two kind of related questions here. First, an email from Teresa, then we're going to go to a call. The email from Teresa says, what do you think of products like ReLeaf by Mohu? They say we can connect it to our television and get free over-the-air channels without the cable. We live 30 miles of our favorite stations, within 30 miles of our favorite stations like Maine Public and WCSH. Any other antennas to recommend? ReLeaf got the best review on Consumer Reports. So free over-the-air channels with a ReLeaf is Teresa's question. And then we're also going to go to Steve, who's calling from Portland, because I think you have a cord-cutting question as well, too, don't you, Steve?
Yes, I do. You know, cutting the TV cable cord, but looking for something on a budget, more or less, rather than like the Apple Cube, which is like $250, but on a budget mode, what would you recommend?
Fire Stick. Mm-hmm. Amazon Fire Stick, $29, and you can get the 4K version, I think, right now on sale for $39. It Fire Stick plugs into an HDMI. It gives you full access to, you can, you know, of course, your Hulus, Netflix, Amazon Prime, all that video. I recently cut the cord, and the provider I chose is DirecTV Now, not to be confused with DirecTV over with the satellite. DirecTV Now is their over-the-internet TV. Starts at like $35-$40 a month, and that's also a downloadable app on the Fire Stick. So the Fire Stick or also a Chromecast, but I really like the Fire Stick quite a bit and the Amazon product.
So the Fire Stick, let me get this clear, because I'm old school. I have an Apple TV that's 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The Fire Stick, you buy it, you plug it into the back of your television on a HDMI plug-in, but that's not enough. You have to then subscribe to some sort of service.
Well, it gives you access. Once you fire it up, it gives you access to, for example, if you have Amazon Prime, you'd instantly have access to all your Prime content, like TV, video, stuff like that. And then, your secondary sources. I mean, we say cut the cord. What you're doing is you're cutting the big cord to the cable company, and then you're adding a couple little cords to the internet so you still get the programming you want. So whether you spend your $8 or $9 or $10, whatever it is, for Netflix, or if you spend for Hulu, but all of those services are accessible through a Fire Stick. And if you have an Apple TV or something like that, or Chromecast, it's all the same stuff. It's just each company's, it's Pepsi or Coke, it's picking one big major company's device that gets you access to those content providers.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Let's go back to Teresa's email about ReLeaf by Mohu. What is that? Mm. And is that similar, or is that a whole different kind of thing?
Well, it's a flat panel digital antenna. I have one. It sometimes works. It's because digital over-the-air signals are very directional, it's very difficult to find an ideal placement sometimes. It basically looks like a thick piece of paper with a coax cable that ties into the back of your TV. So you will be able to get all those over-the-air signals. It does take a little bit of manipulation to get it in the right spot, but they do work really well. You can try putting one in your attic. Usually the highest place in your house works best.
I think a lot of people are afraid of cutting the cord because they're just afraid that they won't be able to figure it out. I know that the engineers here at Maine Public often will be on the phone walking people through it. For those of you who have done it, is it hard? Is it something a regular person can do?
Absolutely, yes. And
absolutely, it's hard, or
absolutely,
absolutely it's not?
It is not difficult at all. And to the horror of the cable companies, I'm just going to say, you know, it's time to leave that behind. Cable companies are internet delivery systems, and you can choose, unless you really want all of those channels, and I don't, you can choose what you want to watch. So through Amazon and Apple, you can buy a la carte channels. So Showtime, HBO, even before the demise of the great, there was a couple of great archival cinema apps. And so Apple works Apple TV the same way. You can purchase apps on Apple TV. And again, if you're looking for a bargain, there are very often older models of Apple TV that work just fine, maybe not 4K versions, but in the refurb and clearance store at Apple. But it's easy to do. You just have to buy what you want.
It gets... I was in on election day. I was telling you guys this before the show. So I went and I voted, and then I went to my local Time Warner or Spectrum, whatever they're called this week, and I dropped off my cable boxes. I was done. I'd had DirecTV Now, tested it, decided we're in, bought a couple extra Fire devices so that we could put them on all the TVs. And the folks in there at customer service trying to explain to some of the other customers the process, I have to be honest, kind of did make it sound complicated and a little hard to navigate through. But essentially, if you consult with your local professional or something like that, it's a little bit of a process, but I think once you kind of understand it and understand what the devices do and how it gets you access, it then becomes secondary. I mean, there was a point in life where we went from turn dial TVs to all of a sudden you had this cable box. So this is just the next iteration of it. But at the end of the day, in my house, we're saving about $100 a month. I mean, that's no joke. So if the wallet savings alone is worth kind of a little bit of the learning curve. But once you get it, people can get it and you'll be quite happy.
We have an email from Miriam. Can you recommend exterior Wi-Fi cameras?
Yeah, why not? What I actually think that would be a better choice is a doorbell camera. And there are a couple of great ones out there. One is the Ring 2 video doorbell. So meaning that if you're not home and somebody rings your bell, then you can see who they are on your phone. There are also indoor-outdoor Wi-Fi cameras as well. Nest makes some very nice ones. That all will sync in with the Nest app. So you can, as Jared was saying, you can run your Nest thermostat plus all your cameras and see it in the same app.
An email. Go ahead,
Jared. I was going to say, I have one. I went with the Ring, not doorbell. They make a cool doorbell one as well. But I went with at my house, the Ring Spotlight camera. It's actually dual function. It's actually, when you look at it, it looks like a regular motion-activated spotlight like you'd see on the side of any house, but it has the Ring camera system built into it, and that's all run by Wi-Fi. And it's got night vision and records things. They don't charge you. Nest has a little bit. I have some Nest cams. They do charge a little bit more of a monthly fee in order to record your video. Another good camera system is the Arlo cams. The Arlo, I actually wrote that down. Arlo cam, who was it? Walmart. Because Walmart's going to be great this weekend. Enjoy going in there. They're marking down the three-pack from $299 to $189. It's quite a bit, $110 off. And those three cameras, what's cool about the Arlo cams is they run off battery. So you don't have to necessarily have them near a plug or have them in a place. Those are rechargeable. So those are pretty cool. But outdoor cams, for peace of mind is... good to have.
An email from Amy. My husband, a senior, has never before wanted a computer, but has recently begun using an older iPad and is now interested in having a laptop of his own for email, writing, Facebook, and internet research. We are considering a Lenovo C330 Chromebook. Do your experts think that this would be a good choice for a tech newbie? Janet, what do you think?
I don't know that laptop at all, Chromebook and Lenovo, so it has...
It's a Chromebook. Lenovo, okay. HP, they all make their version of a Chromebook. Okay.
Yeah, if he's not wedded to specific types of, products for writing, as far as I'm pretty sure Microsoft Word can be installed on a Chromebook. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not really.
No,
because you'd have to
You have to use a Google
Docs,
Google Docs and all that.
Those are more Google centric.
He already has an iPad, and he's halfway there, I think. For light use, for email, for documents, you can get a Bluetooth keyboard or get a case that has a keyboard incorporated. And you can run Pages off of an iPad. It's a little bit easier, I think, than I'm not a great, I mean, unless you need it, I'm not a great fan of Chromebooks because you're locked into a, you are with Apple too, but in a bigger way, but you're kind of locked into a universe that.
All right. And just generally speaking, Janet, we haven't talked about this yet this hour. If someone is in the same situation and maybe a kind of a tech newbie and wants to learn about different devices, you would recommend the first place they go is their local library.
Yeah, they can go to their library. A lot of them have tech drop-ins, and they can bring their new technology, and the librarian can help them either learn along with them or, you know, teach them how to use it. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, don't overbuy technology that you don't necessarily need. You know, like what Andrew was saying, he might just be fine with a keyboard for, you know, a tablet or something. But, you know, that's the, you know, your local library is a great place to learn how to use the tech that he has, and especially for people that are older, because it's kind of a friendly place to go to.
And she may not realize that these keyboards that are for the iPads, they make it almost feel like a laptop. They open, they can open, and they have, you wouldn't know unless you knew.
It comes in like a case. And so it's like putting a case on your iPad and then the keyboard's built in.
It looks like a laptop.
It makes it look, yeah.
I was on a plane and they said, put your laptops away. And I had my iPad. You're allowed to have your iPad open, mm-hmm. but it had the keyboard. And I was told I had to turn it off. And I said, it's an iPad. And she said, it has a keyboard. It's a laptop. So I separated it, and then it was okay. So they look exactly the same in form and function.
A tweet from Jake. Can the Google Home wireless router work without the personal assistant, a.k.a. wiretap, turned on?
I don't know. You probably need Google Personal Assistant to set it up. But I think you can turn off some of those functions. Remember, you know, you've got the ultimate control. You can go through and turn off all the spyware that comes mm-hmm. free with those things.
And if they don't let you, you don't buy it. Don't put it in your home.
And just a few seconds left, our eternal reminders. If something goes wrong, the first thing you do is turn it off and turn it back on.
Wait 30 seconds.
Wait
30
seconds.
Then turn it back on. Right?
And then turn it back on. And the second thing,
back up.
Back up.
Okay, see, you all have me well trained.
Back up your holiday photos.
I don't understand most of what you're saying, but I do remember back up. Thank you all for being here again. Janet McKenney, Director of Library Development for the Maine State Library. Andrew Rosenstein, the owner of TechPort, and Jared Maxfield, the owner of Necessary Technology. Happy Thanksgiving to all three of you.
You too. Everyone else, thank you.
John Keimel ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Don't forget about tomorrow's Desert Island Disc Show. Share your five and check out special videos that we are posting on our website and Facebook page. Hopefully Facebook will be up and running and we can add more. Or search on the Twitter for the hashtag, which are your five. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Since I'm off tomorrow, I would like to take a moment to wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving as well.